All right, well, happy spring. I hear you made it through Little Five.
Yes, I did. Our whole community. I mean, we had some issues, as we always do with Little Five, but it was a beautiful weekend, and many, many thousands of people had a good time.
And you went along a ride-along with an officer. I bet that's kind of eye-opening when you see kind of what they have to deal with.
I did. I actually rode along with Chief Dekoff in his car, and you probably know that weekend pretty much every police officer is on duty, and we double up in the cars and get everybody on the streets. So I wanted to ride along with him, which I did Friday evening till about midnight. So I got to meet a lot of our fellow residents in Bloomington who were out engaging and enjoying themselves that night.
I wanted to start, though, with, of course, the water quality issue. We've been talking a lot about this lately. You've been aggressively seeking solutions to this high level of disinfectant byproducts in Bloomington's water since you took office. It's obvious this is a priority, and rightfully so. On kind of a scale of 1 to 10, how serious is this becoming? Because that last press conference you had about a few weeks ago sounded a little bit more serious than maybe people were thinking.
Well, I don't know on a number scale like that. Let me try to put it in context. I have had two press conferences about our water system in my first 100 days because they're important to talk about. When I came into office January this year, a few months ago, I found out that our water system had this one aspect that was climbing toward the federal safety limits. And I immediately wanted people to know that and to let them know we're going to jump on this and take care of it. It is important to note that the 100 plus categories or types of measurements that we do, lead and biological issues and other metals and all those things, we're in compliance with all that. And lead, our system is very high quality water and all those results. But this one, which is actually a byproduct, as it's called, of our system, had been rising over the last 5 years. We knew that it's a complicated thing. It actually comes because we draw water from Lake Monroe, which is a great water source. It includes organic material in it, and the chlorine that we use to kill bad bugs sometimes can create these byproducts. So. I think we are in the path to fix that. It is not at a level that's dangerous. I want to have complete transparency so people know what's going on. And in the nature of news conferences, I tell one thing that's wrong and 100 things that are right, and we focus on the challenge, and that's appropriate. But I'm confident that we're going to get it fixed. We don't yet know, do we need to put a whole bank of ultraviolet lights in over the next year or two to do that? Or can we do it with the current chlorine-based system? We don't know the answer to that yet. We'll figure that out. But, you know, it's going to take work, but I'm confident we'll get it resolved.
I assume you're briefed on a regular basis, especially now that the temperature has gone up. It hit almost, I think, 80 degrees on Sunday. Right. But that was an issue a few months ago. We were talking about temperature.
That's right. Generally, the warmer the temperature, the more likely that you'll have DBP, disinfectant byproduct, issues. So we are watching that. I ordered that we do monthly testing. All we're required to do is quarterly, but I tripled the frequency of that so that we're doing it every month. We get those results in. I'm very pleased that we've announced a new head of the utilities department, Vic Kelson, who's an environmental scientist, a water expert, and brings a lot of technical know-how, and he begins next Monday, I think, and so one of his first jobs is going to be to roll up his sleeves and make sure we're doing everything we need to be doing to fix this.
Transparency has also been important to you in this process. We can tell just by the information that you're giving. Why is that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different reasons. One is it's government belongs to all of us. Government belongs to the people. It's our government. It's your government. You need to know what's going on. I don't think you ought to have to go through hoops or hurdles to find out information that you want that's public information. So that's one of it. It's just the right thing to do. Government belongs to the people. Government works better also when people know what's going on and they're engaged in it. We want residents, all our residents, to be caring about our community. They do, and caring about the government. Part of it also is, I'm old enough, I've grown up long enough to see we've had a really significant decrease in the amount of trust people have for government. Now that's national mostly, but it trickles down state, local, and people get mad at government. Look, we all get mad at big institutions, government or others, at different times. But I think it's really important to help build confidence and trust in government. And the only way you can do that, from my perspective, is to have open books, open doors, let people see what's going on. So it's important to me.
We had two people send in questions. Ryan wants to know, kind of a two-part question. They're not related. We'll start with the first part. He's curious about the tech part. When's that going to get started? What's going on? And it has been quiet since we've talked last.
Well, there's a lot going on in the tech park. We've had one meeting with the Redevelopment Commission, which is the entity that's responsible for the tech park. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes work going on, and you will see in the next weeks and months some significant activity. I have said from the beginning, when I got involved during the campaign thinking about the tech park, this is not all going to happen in one fell swoop, and I don't think it should happen in one fell swoop. And in fact, I think it's good we stopped, and I was a voice that felt we should stop the huge development of market rate housing in the middle of the tech park. It should focus on jobs. Tech businesses move, they innovate, they grow, they change. We want our tech park to be a place that evolves with them. So we're going to be focused on jobs. You're going to see activity in the tech park. There's a lot of work. Linda Williamson, our economic director, has been spending a lot of time on it. We just can't announce anything yet. But keep your eye on the newspaper and the radio and the television. There'll be more coming out.
Okay. He also wants to know about if they have anyone working on the 3rd Street, State Road 37 traffic problem. 3rd Street backs up to Patterson going westbound. And maybe it's just a larger question of traffic in Bloomington. Is there anything being done?
Well, there's a lot being done about traffic in Bloomington overall. A specific issue like that, I'll have to beg and forbearance to let me look into that with our planning folks and transportation folks and things that we might be able to do. You know, Bloomington's changing. 69 is coming through. We're going to have our population continues to increase both in the city and around the city. That's a good thing in the sense that it means we have a community that people want to live in and want to invest in, but it also means we do have to deal with transportation issues. We'll be coming out in the months ahead also with the growth policies plan or the comprehensive plan, which lays out a lot of those issues, what we want to do about it. The governor and the state legislature did just approve some new money to go to local jurisdictions. I can't help noting that it was actually our money in the beginning anyway. They just held on to it and have finally released it back to us, but that will help us make some investments. And we're always thinking about roads and road quality and sidewalks and bike trails and how do we get people back and forth. In fact, I've been trained on a new phrase, which I'm told I really need to think about: mobility management. Don't think about how we move around. There's lots of different ways to move, and managing the way we all move around is the right way to think about it.
You know, I've noticed too, and this could be county or otherwise, those, what, I don't even know what you call them, but they're car counters or traffic counters,
yes,
that
traffic
are
counters,
you know, over the road. There's going to be a lot of them recently. I don't know if that is that something. Do you know, is the city doing some type of study or?
At least, yes, at least some of that is the city working with some partners to work on the synchronization of the lights. I don't know about you, but I want our lights to work well, particularly on those one-way streets like College and Walnut, to make sure we synchronize them, which helps move traffic. It also helps save gas and energy. So there's some studies being going on to how to make that work better.
You mentioned I-69 through Bloomington delayed now until June. It was supposed to be by the end of the year. How often does NDOT keep you posted on progress and what's next in the construction process through Bloomington? What can residents expect?
Well, that is very frustrating, and I called up to the NDOT commissioner and spoke with Brandy Hendrickson the day that article came out. And I learned about that issue of the financial payments and solvency in the newspaper. We had heard from some local contractors that there were problems with payment. It is extremely frustrating that a major project like that is being slowed because the lead contractor is not paying their subcontractors, who are our people here in Bloomington, a lot of them doing that work. And it's extremely frustrating to have great weather and not have anything going on. I continue to be in regular dialogue with the state. I've had a couple meetings, conversations. We haven't had face-to-face meetings, conversations about that situation. I am told that the Isolux, which is the private company that's doing the design build, will be remedying that payment cash flow issue imminently. We are not hesitant to contact NDOT because while it may not cost the state taxpayers money, this delay, it does cost us delays and time and frustration, and I want to be sure we get that done as quickly as possible. So we're very active in talking to NDOT about it. And I'm not satisfied yet that we know how it will be resolved, and it is frustrating to have it delayed. And the state implementation of this Section 5, which they did differently from Sections 1 through 4, it's frustrating that delay has arisen in this section, and I'm not happy about it.
A question here from Reverend Pepler. She heard that McDonald's is closing 3 restaurants for remodeling all at one time. Hmm. And her issue, though, is that it doesn't seem to be socially responsible to the community, but more importantly to the people who work in those locations that are making minimum wage and trying to support families, and they could be severely impacted by this plan. Obviously, McDonald's is a national business. It's not a city entity, but I guess she just wanted to know if there's anything the city can do to dissuade McDonald's from this approach.
Well, it's the first I heard of it, so I'm happy to hear about it. I'll look into that. I don't know why, if that's the case, that they've chosen to do 3 at once, why they would do that as opposed to staggering it, but I'm happy to look into that. We'll ask. I do know something we're working with a little more directly is the gas line work downtown. There are major investments that Vectren, it is a private company, a utility, regulated utility, is having to replace basically all the gas lines in the older part of the city. And they've been doing that to some degree, but they're going to be hitting the downtown area in probably during the summer. So there's going to be some public discussion about that. We're working very closely with Vectren to make sure we try to do that in a way that minimizes disruption. It's something they have to do to upgrade the gas lines, and that one we're engaged with directly. McDonald's I don't know about, but I'm happy to ask about.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I may have heard, and to add to this, not all of the chain restaurants are owned by a national chain. Some are locally owned.
Sure.
It could just be bad timing, too.
It could be, yeah. or right, it could be a franchise. Mm-hmm. It could be 3 separate franchise owners or one single one. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. We can try to find out.
So we've seen many projects before they take off, city projects before they take off, there's usually a study. Gauge interest, information, how best to proceed, and I see you're doing that with the broadband services, which when you talk back in the state of the city, how you compared it, so vital to the mm-hmm. growth of a city as so much as a utility. This process for broadband, I read, takes about 6 weeks, so I'm sure it's too early to have any answers right now, but can you give us an update on where the city is on
sure.
broadband right now?
Sure, thank you. I do think broadband, the digital infrastructure, is incredibly important for our city going forward. We're a highly educated city. It's a big part of our economic infrastructure that we need. So we put out, first we did a symposium in the first quarter and had a great attendance and interest in thinking about this issue, working with IU and a lot of people from around the country who've worked on this. The next step we took at the end of March was to release what we call a request for information, an RFI, and that went out and asked potential partners around the country and locally to come talk to us about what they might do to help us accomplish this. I'm pleased we've gotten some early indications midway through that session. We still, I think, goes through May, mid-May, that we'll have that 6-week period for those potential partners to investigate and respond. But we've got an indication more than a dozen of them are very interested. So I was pleased with that. Once we get those packages back, if you will, those responses back in mid-May, I think it is. Then we dig in, we contact folks, we think about and analyze those options, and then we'll begin the next phase, which will be really trying to flesh out what our options are. And that'll involve more public dialogue. But, you know, I continue, the more I you know, there's just an article in the paper this week about Monroe County's Consolidated School Corporation that the issue they have with kids going home with their electronics, but they don't have adequate connectivity at home to do their homework. That's a big issue, and it's going to get bigger, and we've got to make sure all our kids have access to that. Same with healthcare and the economy and others. So we're working hard on that.
Since we've talked to you, you've added some more data sets to the city's Be Clear portal, so residents can obtain more information from the city faster and easier. What did you add, and how does that help residents?
Well, we're always adding things. Be Clear, I don't even know if I know everything that gets added on. And I've asked our department heads, who I meet with regularly, to constantly be looking at what we can add on, to let the public get access one place easily to this, and not just read a PDF, if you will, but to actually have the data. So you can download it, and you can play with it, manipulate it, sort it, analyze it yourself. Frankly, they might come up with some ideas that are good for us, which we hope for. I do know, I'm really pleased, the police department, recently, I've been working with them, and we've taken some significant steps. I asked the Board of Public Safety and the Police Department to go through the 59 recommendations from President Obama's 21st Century Policing Task Force that looked at how do you best be a police force these days, and to be part of that national dialogue. So we're doing that. As part of that, related is what's called the National Police Data Initiative. And again, this is us, Bloomington, being part of the same national dialogue that Ferguson, Missouri, and New York City, and Philadelphia, and Cleveland, and Miami, and LA, and others are involved in. So our police force is going to be putting online, through Be Clear and through this national database, things like the demographics of our officers, the statistics about how many stops we make and who do we stop, the statistics about what kind of infractions we have, and analyzing those, and much more transparency. It's all public data, but it's not been available. It's been very hard to get. You know, I'm concerned our violent crime rate has increased over the past decade. I think we need to pay attention to it, be on top of it, and one of the ways we'd be on top of it is to make sure all this information gets shared and analyzed. We'll be analyzing it, and we welcome other people to analyze it too.
Primaries are coming up in
a couple
weeks. What should Bloomington residents be looking for? Of course, the headlines usually now have been the presidential primaries, which in a way is good. It brings interest because you do want people to vote. You do want people to be part of the process. But in particular for Bloomington residents, is there anything people should be kind of keeping an eye out?
Well, it is 2 weeks away or so for the primary, and I think we will be a battleground state at the national level. So that's going to bring a lot more attention than often happens in a primary here in Bloomington, so in Monroe County, and that's good. You know, I'm a Democrat. That's my family. That's my party. I think this goes true for all candidates. I mean, I think it's important to look for people with integrity, who are going into this for the right reason, who bring experience and skills and ideas to the job. We do a wonderful job in this community through the League of Women Voters and Democracy for Monroe County and other organizations to help do forums, and CATS has a lot of this online. So if you want to look at anything, go online. You can find out a lot about the candidates. But do your homework, ask around, look for who's, you know, people you trust who may be more in attention, ask them what they think. But please do vote. That's important. Get involved.
And I see where you started Mayor at the Market a few weeks ago, a way to give residents a chance to come up and tell you what's on their minds, sort of like this program in a way.
You're welcome to film it if you want to.
We'll have to come down. We'll have to come down. How did that one go, and what are you hearing from residents?
Well, I enjoyed it. It's really part of the whole weekly town hall that I committed to and believe is very important for either myself or fellow department heads, leaders in government, to be there regularly in the public, ready to talk about what's going on and answer questions of all kinds. And a market is obviously a place where a lot of people come together on a Saturday, so that seemed like a logical place to throw out a couple lawn chairs and see what happens. And it was a lot of fun. We did it right on the steps of City Hall and threw out literally some lawn chairs and welcomed whoever wanted to come by. I was scheduled for an hour. I think I was there for an hour and three quarters or something. And you know, people bring lots of different suggestions and ideas, concerns. Everybody who came, it was a positive dialogue. Some people were concerned about how their life worked in Bloomington. Other people were concerned about an issue of a zoning issue or a traffic, somebody who had difficulty traffic crossing a street and wanted to talk about that. So a lot of nitty gritty basic stuff. It was great fun. I'm going to do it every month, and we'll be continuing those weekly town halls as we have, whether it's with the police or the transportation department or the Bloomington Transit or human resources or everybody. So it's a lot of fun. And I do, it's all part of this transparency, right? Your government belongs to all of us. So let's get engaged and figure out how it's working and what we can do better.